I also want to thank Jason and Kathy Seif for their amazing job decorating the convention space. It looks beautiful. I always enjoy the state convention because it's the one time of year where we all get together, and I'm one of the few people that generally knows everybody at the event. And it's wonderful for everybody to get to meet each other and hear about each other's hard work, and to get a sense of the growth that we've had over the last few years in our party. The fact that we don't ask the taxpayers to foot the bill for our party business is a source of pride for our party. And I know that's not exactly what you thought when you purchased the full package, but that's exactly what the attendees of this convention have done. We've shown once again that we're a party of self-reliance. And I want to thank everyone who's taking the time and the money to be here this weekend. As a reporter for WXNT, I was the only person in the state of Indiana in 2008 to go to every state convention. Admittedly, I was curious about libertarians. I didn't know a lot about the Libertarian Party at that time. And I was politically homeless, but I was drifting in a libertarian direction because of people like Andy Horning and Ron Paul. And I have to admit that I was surprised by the size of the convention. It was smaller than I expected. And I saw a lot of strange rules that I didn't see in a lot of the other parties. But what I did see was fairness, and I saw passion and depth, integrity and intelligence. And it attracted me to this party. The other two conventions were much larger. There were no votes. There weren't any workshops. There was no access to party leadership. There were only speeches. In fact, a lot of hot air. And in one case, delegate disenfranchisement that on a scale that shook me to my Ronald Reagan-loving Republican core. And as we'll see in a few months, their state conventions are our best recruiting tools. That was the moment that I decided to join your party. I became a proud libertarian. I sat on the sidelines for a few months, watching with frustration as the party missed opportunities in a presidential year with major statewide races. And after complaining to one party official, I think it was actually Tim McGuire, he said, first of all, if you're a libertarian, why aren't you helping? Secondly, it's because we don't have an executive director to help coordinate our efforts. And that's when I decided to stop being an observer in politics. And that's generally what the media is, and get into the game. That needs to be our message to our party this year. If you're sitting on the sidelines frustrated, we need you to get in the game. This election cycle before us is potentially historic for our party. On the national side, we have a wave of Ron Paul supporters quietly waiting for the conclusion of another convention before joining our party and working for our candidates. We have a fellow Hoosier, Mark Rutherford, that may be elected as the national chairman. We have a governor's candidate that can reach out to the 70% of the population that does not vote and say it's our time. We have a United States Senate candidate that has a message that has been consistent, but has always been a little too early. Well, this year his message is mainstream. We also have some of the best congressional and state legislative candidates in our history. For example, in his House race, Rex Bell set records in House District 54 in 2010. Now this year he's running for 6th District Congress. Chard Reed, who's in the back of the room, is running again for Congressional District 5. He earned our party's first endorsement by the state's largest newspaper. These are serious candidates with complex campaigns, and with that comes great need. A big part of my focus this coming year is to help coordinate with some of our campaigns and to make sure the campaigns are working with our local affiliates and volunteers. If libertarians can rise to the occasion, this is the last state convention where we have the comfort of knowing every delegate. It could mean the last convention, period. There once was a time when the 6% in the Secretary of State's race seemed unimaginable. 10% in taxpayer-funded primaries and the wealth of voter data that brings us is a wonderful thing for us to begin discussing next year. And as many of you know, I like to be prepared. So please, as we move through this election cycle, look for a good SOS candidate for 2 years from now. Now my call to action to get off the sidelines are not for the people in this room. It's for the other 100,000 libertarians that voted for Mike Wery in 2010 in the Secretary of State's race. This room is not the Libertarian Party. You are the leaders of the Libertarian Party. With great candidates that our leadership has put together in 2012, I have no doubt that those people will be contacting us shortly. So as leaders, what are we to do? In the past, I've given you roadmaps and plans and printed off a lot of paper. This year, I'm just going to talk about five things that I think our party needs to do in the coming year. First, be as welcoming and as friendly as possible. We need to be positive. When a new libertarian shows up and says something is too hard, show them how easy it is. Our attitude this year is to focus on the possibilities, not the impossibilities. Second, be a trainer. Always look for opportunities to train those libertarians that are coming into the party. In 2010 and 2011, we ran good campaigns that gave a wealth of training to the people in this room. Share those with new people and encourage those new volunteers. Third, don't stop recruiting. Every time you get a phone call, an email, make sure you respond to it quickly. Always have a sign-up sheet with you and share those names with me so I can share it with other people. Fourth, never leave home without a voter registration form, please. Our party is going to grow by recruiting the non-voter. As someone spoke about earlier, the Democrats and the Republicans, we can peel some of those votes off, but we have to start wading into the 70% that doesn't vote. Fifth, get people to become state party members or 1994 society members. If we added 20 new members at $25 a year to our party, our deficit would be solved. Well, we'll start with 21.
That's great.
Okay. If we added 9 new 1994 Society members in each congressional district this year, we would double our revenue. That's 9 new 1994 Society members in each of the 9 congressional districts. That means that we could do more outreach and properly market our candidates. Sending out emails and Facebook requests from the state office and traveling and seeing some of our affiliates once a year obviously isn't cutting it. I need every leader to have the attitude that you are a fundraiser for the state party by personally asking new faces in your area to join the party or the 1994 Society at every event. So that way we don't have we can have Dale be more enthusiastic than Rutherford next year. Lastly, have fun. This is not a job for anyone but me, and like most of you, I want to come to my job and have as few problems at work as you do. Politics shouldn't be cutthroat, and we should avoid infighting this year. We're too small for it. We're all on the same team, and it's important that we maintain a sense of joy in our work. We have many wonderful things working in our favor this year. So always stop and ask yourself, what would Rex Bell do? Now I can hear the groaning. Great, more stuff to do. More advice. But is he going to ask me for money next? No, I'm going to leave that up to the Central Committee members, who will hopefully have yellow cards with them at all the time and help keep our party leaders stocked with yellow cards. My hope is that you leave this convention renewed to do special things this election cycle. Things that you don't think possible. I hope you all understand that you are important leaders in the libertarian movement. And that working together, we can put our party into the stratosphere that we've not thought possible. My feelings on this election cycle are summed up by Bruce Fein, who recently said, "We can't just get discouraged because success doesn't look inevitable. Otherwise, great things would never be tried. If people accepted the status quo, there would be no monument to MLK or the Voting Rights Act. Just because you're in the minority, it doesn't mean you stop fighting." And I thought this was a great quote for our work when I posted on Facebook. But I'm going to leave you with a quote from our own Greg Noland, who explains why we do what we do. "People ask me why I keep doing this. I tell them that I'm building a party. I may not win, but the young person walking behind me will be able to stand on my shoulders, and they will win. Thank you."